Good afternoon, everyone. So this is Mary Fox with Ask the Vet. And I'm engineering again. Sometimes that's dangerous.
Oh, no.
Anyway, so thanks for joining us. Remember, this is a call-in show, so please call in 963-2976. I hope you were listening to the Broncos show earlier, and hopefully I get to win, but I probably won't. But anyway, so every third Thursday of the month, we have Ask the Vet here, and today we have a guest who's often on the show, and sometimes she's the host.
Hello.
She likes, yes, this Beth Broom.
Hello.
So Beth often hosts, and she often comes and talks to us about behavior. She's a certified behavior consultant, and today we are going to talk about anxiety.
Yes.
So
very common problem.
It is, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's at all ages, all
sizes,
types,
all varieties.
All sizes.
Yes.
Happens in cats too, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Cats definitely have a problem.
So, what we're going to talk about today is how anxiety affects not only animals but affects the humans, you know, or all of us who are owners of pets. And, you know, sometimes it's not so much fun. We want our dogs to have fun. We want our dogs to have the freedom to do all the wonderful, fun things in life. And sometimes when there's a lot of anxiety, it makes it difficult.
Yeah.
So remind us a little bit, Beth, about what it means to be a behavior consultant.
I would say the behavior consultant and how it differs from a basic obedience trainer is, you know, I'm looking to see a patient, a dog, with an actual problem, where your basic obedience trainers are looking to help start a puppy out with the right behaviors and the right training for, you know, basic obedience, leash, you know, come, sit, stay, all those things. All those things are really important in behavior modification. But what a behavior consultant is doing is looking to take a dog that already has a inappropriate behavior, anything that causes, you know, stress or anxiety on the dog or the owner is a problem. And so a behavior consultant is looking to take on an animal with a problem and try to fix it. Ideally working with a veterinarian, that way, you know, you have the ability to, you know, with a veterinarian on board, potentially use pharmaceuticals or nutraceuticals. And yeah, so that's basically the behavior consultant. Sorry.
Well, you talked about, were you rambling, Beth?
I think I was. That never happens.
Well, and don't forget 963-2976 if you want to ask Beth any questions about the behavior of your dog. Please don't call in with any medical questions.
Or cats. That's a tough one.
Well, no, you can call
you
in.
You can call about cats.
You can
I
call
guess
about
right.
cats. Especially
Sorry.
When we start talking about what it's like for animals to visit the vet.
That is absolutely correct.
Yeah. So, and you mentioned how the difference between a behavior consultant and a trainer, and trainers working with dogs from the time that they're young to try to help train them. And there are things we can do with animals when they're young to help them with the possibility of anxiety.
Absolutely. Should,
and so let's talk just a little bit about that in terms of what kinds of recommendations would you make to owners if they have a new puppy?
Oh, wow.
To help them so they can avoid some of these issues that, you know, behavior issues are oftentimes linked to anxiety. Is that fair for me to say?
I would say that's a fair assumption. I would say that a lot of behaviors come from a negative experience and or a lack of experience. So that's where the puppy, the things you can do with a new puppy really come into play, because I don't think that every dog, because they have a reaction that's not positive, necessarily was beaten or abused, but maybe just never got an appropriate exposure to something that now causes them fear or anxiety.
It scares them because they're not used to it.
Exactly. So when it comes to what you can do as a owner of a new puppy, I think that socialization is really important. And what that means is not just with other dogs, because that is a key component, but also exposure to everything in the world around them, done appropriately in a really sensitive manner, so that you're not just throwing them into something that will invoke fear, but that you're easing them into new experiences, new environments, new people. And you know, there's a long list of exposures that all puppies should have so that they don't become something that invokes fear or anxiety later in their life.
So you are listening to Ask the Vet at KDNK. It's 440, and the number here is 963-2976, and I believe we have a caller. One moment.
Hello?
Are you there, caller?
I am here.
Ah, please. What's your question for Beth?
Oh, you know, I was calling for Bronco Babble. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no. Hey, well, you want to give me what your guess is, and I'll give it to Luke?
Sure. I'm going to say Bronco 17 and Crybaby Chargers 14.
Okay, what's your name?
Lisa.
Okay, Lisa, thanks. I'll let Luke know.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, thank you, Lisa. That's great. So, where were we? About socialization with young dogs and being careful about being sensitive, not just throwing them into experiences.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely methods where people have tried to use sort of a method where you just throw an animal in and make them sort of become used to it.
Uh-huh.
And that's not something that's recommended, nor does it really yield good results. So I would say definitely when you get a puppy, lots of exposure, but done sensitively and slowly.
Okay. We'll come back to puppies, but let's go to the adult dog that mm-hmm. does have anxiety issues and it's mm-hmm. serious enough that it's causing behavior problems that mm-hmm. are affecting the way that dog can live at home maybe.
Yeah.
Can you think of and you know, extrapolate on case study that you have had in the past where and what kinds of things have you suggested?
I can say a really something I've had clients come in and talk about, and also a really common problem is car anxiety. It doesn't sound like a big deal until you have a dog that as soon as either they don't want to get in the vehicle and they do need to go somewhere, or they get in the vehicle and they become immediately nauseous, salivating, vomiting. Or they get in the vehicle and they pace, pant, cry, bark, step on you, run up and down amongst the vehicle. That's a really common, I would say, basic anxiety that I think a lot of dogs suffer from, including one of my two dogs. And I think that I think we're going to talk about desensitizing today, which is really a very basic key to behavior modification for any type of behavior. And in this particular case of anxiety in a vehicle, again, it always has to be done really, really slowly. When you plan on desensitizing your dog to what they fear, you have to start from scratch almost way before, to where whatever the fear is becomes benign and no big deal. And that's where you start. And you slowly...
Let me see if I get a clarification on this. You back up to where the dog isn't fearful.
Exactly. Thank you. Yes. Okay. You back up to where the dog isn't fearful and you start rewarding them there. And slowly as that, you know, you inch forward in the process and reward the non-fearful behavior. It's a really, really slow process depending on how fearful the animal is. And if you push them too far, you're not going to make any headway. So basically the idea with the car anxiety would be to eventually get the animal in the car
And just in the car maybe and then back
potentially
out
that's it. For some animals it might take a while just to get in the car. For some animals they jump in the car, they're happy to, but it's about the driving. And you know, so that means small trips around the block and then getting out of the car and then realizing, you know, my dog, for example, I think it invokes anxiety in her because she's excited because she only gets to go in the car when she's going to go do something fun, generally speaking. So she immediately gets overly excited. So for her, it would be about putting her in the car and just driving around the block and getting out and going. Not every car trip equals super exciting, so you don't have to overreact. and you want to pair for the car, for example, you would want to pair the slow desensitization with a distraction, possibly something that holds their attention. So not only is the experience enjoyable, but it's, you know, they're slowly working into things. So that would be a pretty basic case that's common and a really short answer.
Well, and that, I don't know that it was so short.
Well, it felt short.
It's a really good example of desensitization, which is something we're going to talk about here in a minute. Good example of that. So remember, you're listening to KDNK. It is 4:54, and this is a call-in show, so please call us, 963-2976. You know, dogs are really sensitive, because I know when my dog's in the car, she does really well. She loves to be in the car. But there's a point where we're almost to the trail, because we're usually going to a trail, and she starts to cry.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband and I have this debate about whether it's the bumpy road, which the road may or may not be bumpy, or it's because the car's slowing down and she sees scenery that's familiar with the trail. And I really think that's what it is. The car is slowing down. She sees the scenery and she starts crying because she's about to get out of the car and she knows it.
I believe they also, if you take them to the same place, sometimes only once or twice, they start to recognize where they're going.
And the distance even, I think.
Yeah. I think one thing I'd like to add just about desensitizing and or any training you're doing when you have a dog that has an established behavior problem, dogs develop behavior problems over their lifetime. If you adopt a 4-year-old dog from the shelter and it has an issue, it may have been working on that issue for 4 years. So you can't, 2 years, you can't expect to change the behavior overnight. Patience is really important, and doing the modification correctly, taking your time, albeit frustrating, is going to be the key to your success. Repetition and patience. And, you know, you can't expect a behavior to disappear when they've spent so much time creating it. It doesn't disappear overnight. So that's a really important thing for people to remember, especially when they're frustrated and sick of it and over it. And I get that. But that's where you have to just remember.
Yeah, they want success right away.
Yeah.
We all do.
Of course.
Especially. So one of the things we talked about, too, I wanted to talk about one of the most anxious situations for pets, and it can be even a pet that doesn't have anxiety issues otherwise, is going to the vet.
Absolutely.
And I think sometimes we all, as humans, I know I get anxious about going to the dentist. And so, sorry about that. That's out to my dentist.
Oh, my God. Your dentist.
Because I love him.
You didn't say his name.
I love him.
Thank God
you
didn't say his name.
And, but, you know, I mean, I think a lot of owners might really just want to get it over with.
Mm-hmm.
They get in, get out even. And the dog's going to be anxious and that's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
But what's wrong with that? You know, what's wrong with doing it that way? And how is the desensitization that you're talking about going to be helpful or making them feel calmer? How's
right.
that going to? Why is that helpful?
Well, first of all, I think it's a really important thing to remember that, we see your pet at the hospital for, you know, routine visits. We deal with the stressed out patient for the wellness exam or whatever. Remember that when your pet is in an emergent situation, they're going to be even more stressed out, even more difficult to handle, and they need to be attended to immediately. If we can get your animal to a point where they're comfortable walking in the door and being handled, it could potentially help with a life-saving issue, you know, if something horrific were to happen. That being said, it's also helpful for the doctor and the technician to do a really good job, even on your basic wellness exam visits. We want to be able to handle, you know, your animal and be able to do a thorough physical. And it's hard to do a really good job and find all the things we need to find in a physical when your animal's really, really stressed out. And that's where the desensitizing comes in. And that's where, of course, brand new puppies are the easiest to start on the right track. But the the older dog that already has these established fears, which is most dogs. I don't know too many dogs that walk into the vet hospital truly happy. I think I own one, but that's just because he's not very smart. but in general, I think most dogs come into the hospital a little anxious. And so I think looking into, and of course, I know everyone works and life is challenging to fit everything into a day. But, you know, if you have an anxious dog, it's worth looking into a program to desensitize your dog to the hospital.
Well, let's go back to the puppies for a minute here. Mm-hmm. When you talk about desensitizing, you know, there are puppy preschools that will help puppies, yep. you know, learn how to be with other puppies. And there's correct. Also the opportunity, isn't there? I mean, we should call our vet and see, hey, I got a new puppy. Can I bring him into the
absolutely
to the clinic and you know, walk him around and then have all the vets and the doctors handle him? I
absolutely.
Mean, if they were willing to do that, I think that could be really helpful as well.
Yeah, and I think especially in the vet industry, when we see puppies at generally 8, 12, 16 weeks, and then we don't see them. I mean, depending on when someone decides to spay or neuter, or if they decide to spay or neuter their pet, we potentially don't see them until they're a year old. There's a lot of time in there. Well, sure, your puppy seemed like he had a really good time the first three visits, but now he hasn't seen us, and he's a year old, and he's developed, for whatever reason, some fear and anxiety. So I think calling your vet, asking if they can help you, you know, and if, you know, maybe have a program set up to help your puppy come through.
If they're willing to
right.
yeah, spend the time
mm-hmm.
with them.
But I can only imagine that every vet hospital is happy to have someone bring their dog through just on every couple months if they're a happy dog, every week if they need work, starting at a young age and even as an older pet, you know, calling up and asking the question, can I bring him in? I'd really like to get him more comfortable with the hospital setting.
Okay, you are listening to Ask the Vet on KDNK. It is 4:50, and this is a call-in show. We only have about 6 minutes left, so if you want to call in, please do, 963-2976. So I think, Beth, if I'm not mistaken, you mm-hmm. you work at a clinic that does a lot of this work and actually promotes it. So let me ask you, and I need to say that because I want you to ask me to give some examples of some of the things that you do to help animals that have some anxiety, and how you talk to the clients or to the owners about that too, because I'm sure that seems a little strange to them.
I do think
is it strange?
I don't think it's strange at all, but I am thinking of it in a different way, I think, because I'm also a person that's having to deal with a really scared animal and trying to do something to it that it's not maybe comfortable with. So I think it makes great sense to do some desensitization. And I think it starts at home, ideally, with the pet owner. For example, you know, toenail trims are notoriously a stressful event for most dogs. And, you know, things that can be done at home are, you know, a nice desensitizing to touching the feet. And, you know, I mean, it's a really slow process. So, you know, it'd be things like the pet owner simply just touching the feet, holding the feet, rewarding the pet allowing
being allowed
to do that.
To do that. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to like make them. That's you need to back up, right? And then
well, it's pretty easy to teach a dog usually to give
shake.
You their paw
exactly.
how to shake. So
but
that
I can
could
tell
be
you
the
there are so
it.
Many dogs that will shake and not let mm-hmm. me touch their foot. Interesting, you know. But I think, you know, what the hospital I work at, we've started to try to educate the average pet owner that there are things we can do in the hospital setting to help them. So basically, and, you know, call your veterinarian because, like I said, I don't know anybody that wouldn't be interested in doing this because it helps everybody when you have a less anxious and stressed out animal. But it is, you know, looking at bringing your pet in for visits that are just about getting them comfortable in the hospital, having the staff do things slowly to the pet that we're going to be doing, everything from sub-Q injections for vaccinations to nail trims, anal gland expressions. These are all things that we can, cleaning ears, just having a physical. Many dogs are petrified to be touched by a veterinarian, having the stethoscope touch them. These are all things that we can do in a hospital setting on a slow basis to help your pet eventually become more accepting of what we're doing. I don't know if I just answered your question.
Well, you did half of it. Half of it.
Sorry.
So the other half of it was how do you introduce the owner to it?
you know, it can be a bit of a hard sell because this isn't what we are accustomed to as pet owners. Everybody knows their dog hates or their cat hates to go to the vet, and that's just what it is, and you just get it done. And I think that pet owners are becoming more and more in tune with their pets. They are becoming more educated about health and wellness. And so I think it is a hard sell, but I think for the pet owners listening out there to be open-minded to some of these ideas about lowering the anxiety level of your pet when they go to the hospital.
Well, for the very reason that the next time they're going to be less stressed out, and in other new situations, they'll be less stressed out too.
Absolutely.
So in the end, it's going to help them.
It can help. First of all, no one wants to deal with it. Half the time, people don't bring their pet to the hospital because they don't want to deal with a stressed out pet. So they don't do any preventative care or wellness care, and they only come in, you know, ill situations. So if we can, you know, get your pet in there for preventative care, you're potentially keeping them around longer. So, I mean, it's all inclusive. Everybody wins in these scenarios. But again, it takes patience. It takes dedication. It takes work on everyone's part. I think the beauty of understanding desensitization, although it is a commitment, dogs don't need to spend 3 hours learning something. These are brief times, 15 minutes, you know, a couple times a day at home something.
Well, then the owner can do it at home too.
Exactly.
Yeah. Learn it and then they do it at home.
Right. But even at home, when we're talking about behavior modification and training, these are brief things. So, I just don't, you know, although it is a commitment and it's something that people think they don't have the time for, try to remember that these are not long, drawn out training sessions. I guess that's my.
Okay. Well, thank you
on that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We're just about out of time. And so I want to thank you, Beth, for joining us today and telling us all about desensitization and about fear-free visits.
Yeah. Very important.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right.